This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
One pick and a Super Bowl champ with a man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Cut him every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time, we provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a good Wednesday, April the 14th, 2021. The show, as always, is DCR with you up until 8 o'clock on this fine morning. We have a lot to get into. Mets with a terrific sweep of a doubleheader. Yankees not so good with Jameson Taillon. Knicks back in action tonight. Rangers a beautiful win. Mark Cuban very upset. Stump Rothenberg at 6:45. Jordan Renan at 7:35. Lots going on. We say good morning to one Chris Canty. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing well, Dave. The question is, how are you doing? We know you don't like the Wednesday, so just want to check on your mood, make sure you're good.
I don't love the Wednesday. Now I got two dogs that I'm dealing with that are trying to slowly kill me or quickly kill me, and they're doing a beautiful job of it so far. So, yeah, no, times are tough, but you know what? We soldier on, and this is what we do. This is what we do. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Good morning, David. Good morning, Christopher. Hey, if you're quiet for a second and you just listen. Yep, there it is. Yankees hit into another double play. You could hear it. You could almost
really.
You could almost hear it.
Not because you guys swept the doubleheader, you feel like you control us. That's what we're doing.
You control us.
Come on, man. Talking about the team that had to have a guy chicken wing a pitch just to get a win, and then the guy that allows a start when it's about to be a rainout, and your starting pitcher goes nine.
He brings up good points, Rick.
Pull him.
He brings up really
absolutely
great points.
Absolutely ridiculous. So you're not in any position as a Mets fan to troll the Yankees. Stop it.
But he is burying the lead, though, David. When you sweep a doubleheader.
That's right.
Starting pitching is great, unlike the Yankees. Starting pitching is brutal. Again, Gary Sanchez getting picked off bases. I mean, it's just, what a night. What a night.
So,
Dave's tweeting Rick DiPietro-type tweets of doggy updates.
Update? Only you and your, like, legion of lunatics would even their minds would even go there. I send a picture of the dogs sleeping on each other last night because people are. I'm telling you, I've realized dog tweets are the tweets that people are looking for. I get hundreds of responses. I got thousands of likes. I mean, people love this stuff. I say here's a little doggy update today, and I get Rick's like legion of lecherous people like, oh, don't let Rick see this tweet. You know where his mind is going to go. It's like, what is the matter with these? Their minds go to places I can't even imagine, Chris. It's sick. It's sadistic. It's wild. I can't believe it.
Yeah, I don't understand how you take those beautiful doggy pictures, just adorable doggy pictures, Dave, and manipulate it and twist it and turn it into something like that. I don't know how people can take it there. I don't know how their minds work. But the pictures of the dogs were absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
That's after they almost literally mauled each other to death for about 2 hours. And my studio's in the basement. I go upstairs yesterday and I hear Sherry going, I'm done. We're getting rid of them. I hate these dogs. We're not keeping them. And I was like, why are you yelling at me? She's like, I've been up since 3. And then the whole thing of, yeah, they're going all over the place and this and that. I'm like, I know. They're dogs. And then she calmed down and she had a little time to herself. And then I had to deal with it yesterday. And then by the end of yesterday, I was like, I can't deal with these dogs. They're evil. They're crazy. But after all that evil and all that craziness, they settle down to that picture and it makes it a little all worth it. But then you get, you know, the lecherous followers of Rick who think that a doggy picture is somehow a sexual innuendo and you know, go off the rails.
Now, they only make it worse. I mean, I didn't even see it until they brought it to my attention. And of course, you know where my mind went immediately, but they're only empowering me to be worse with this, yeah, this sickness that I have.
It's a sickness that could go either way, and they are feeding into the sickness.
Yeah, they're exactly right. They're only making it worse. They brought it to my attention. I had no clue. Might have the original picture of the dogs. They're beautiful. And don't worry, Dave. It should only get easier.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's great.
What a decision that was. What a decision.
How about that,
that
huh? You know what? But you now have your wife and kids clamoring for puppies.
Yeah, but
that's going to happen sooner rather than later.
Oh, it's going to happen.
Yeah, you teed that up for Rico.
No, your daughter
there's going to be a lot of pressure in the DiPietro household to get a dog.
She's what, four?
Ella is 4 years old, yeah.
Yeah. We'll see how long you can push that off for.
She's not getting a dog. They're not getting a dog.
Okay.
I already told them they want to go. They want to go on trips and everything else once the pandemic is over. Yeah, no dog. Okay. No dog.
We'll it sounds good. That tough talk sounds good, Dave. It sounds really good.
That's
we'll
right.
see a year from now what ends up happening.
She's going to look up to you with those beautiful eyes. Daddy, please. I really want a dog.
She's already tried. Not
all
happening.
Right. All right. And tell me your defenses are as good as they were when it first started.
No, she's definitely weakening my defenses.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm standing strong.
That's
not happening. I'm
That's
not doing
what they
it.
Do.
They're I'm not getting
monsters.
Two, I'll tell you that. You're going to get two puppies. You're out of your mind.
Well, you don't get
mind.
Points for not getting two. I mean, you're saying you're not going to get one, but
I'm
we
getting
don't
zero
think that
dogs.
That's going to happen.
You're
going to
get
zero
happen.
Dogs.
You'll get a dog
zero.
At some point. You'll get a dog. Because once Cass jumps on the bandwagon and she wants a dog, you're going to get a dog. That's what's going to happen. I'm telling you.
But Cassie doesn't want a dog. That's the thing. She doesn't want a dog either.
All right, then you have a chance. Then you
Thank
actually
you.
Have a chance. Don't ever go to a pet store. Don't ever go to a breeder. Don't ever go to a farm. I'm telling you, don't ever go. If they say, Dad, look, there's a dog breeder right off the highway. Can we stop there and say, let me give you $10,000. Let's go to the Barbie store. Let's go to the hockey store. Let's get pads and boxing gloves and whatever. Don't stop at the puppy farm ever.
No, I made that mistake once. I'm not going to do it again.
Yeah, don't ever. All right, so we mentioned it, and Chris, just for the record, I didn't say anything negative about the Yankees. That was him. I just said the Yankees lost, Mets won, so just to be clear of who's giving you a hard time. But let's start with the Mets, and then we'll switch over to the Yankees. That was a really good performance by the Mets starting pitching yesterday. It's early in the season, I get it. The bat's very, very quiet, but you know what? You're not going to squawk at a doubleheader win, and that's what the Mets got in the shortened doubleheaders yesterday at Citi Field.
And I'll tell you what, Stroman was everything he could want and more. And by the way, again, the whole idea of no DH in the National League, it bites you in the ass again last night, which is fine. I mean, you have a lead, but I mean, there's no reason Stroman doesn't finish that game. But because he was stuck on the bases, they end up bringing in Familia. But I mean, I guess we're going to have to live with that kind of stuff.
At least for this year.
But to pull out the first game? I mean, tell me your first thought was like, oh, no, here we go.
Of course it was.
They're going to lose this game.
It was, Chris, here we go again. It's the same thing. And then you start to think, you know what, you can't afford to lose all these games. I know it's early in the season, but this is going to be one of the better divisions in baseball, and you're going to blow game after game. You're going to find yourself in trouble. That's a big win last night.
No, that's a big win last night. But the day game, I'm with you guys. Once you get into that bullpen, it gets dicey when it comes to the Mets. But you were just hoping that they would find a way to be able to hang on. They would find a way to be able to manufacture some runs late. And that's exactly what they did. After Seguro had that RBI base hit off of Castro, it was just kind of like, you know, the Mets are going down that same road of finding a way of blowing a good start from your pitcher. And I thought Taijuan Walker was solid yesterday, you know. And so it was one of those things that you worried about, but, you know, the Mets find a way to come through there. You know, that's the thing. Pete Alonso came through in the eighth inning and, you know, that's what your guy's supposed to do. And so I just, with the Mets, it really is about trying to hold on once you get a lead, because once you get into that bullpen, you're rolling the dice.
Yeah, tried and true. It almost, like, it just, it happens so often, it drives me crazy. Maybe it's because I watch so much baseball, but the old leadoff walk always comes back to bite you. Every single time it comes back to bite you. And then you had then you get the cross-up, it's a pass ball. But, I mean, Pete Alonso with a humongous hit.
Yep.
VR comes through in the clutch. And that was, that's big for them, especially because you're playing the Phillies. Like, you got to,
I mean, huge.
Yeah, you got to take advantage of the good starting pitching, knowing that, you know, there'll be games where your bullpen just stinks. And again, it's your high leverage guys, right? I didn't think, I mean, May was okay. Again, May was just okay.
You don't love him, though, be honest.
So far, So far, I'm not in love with him. No, how could you be? Are you?
You can't. No, I don't think you could be.
Yeah, how about Nimmo, by the way?
You know what? Can we just leave him locked into the leadoff spot, please?
Yeah, I think we just lock him in right there. We can't move him.
The guy is always on base.
That's all he does right now, is get on base. It's amazing. I find myself, though, so often watching those games, because there was a play yesterday where, and Pete's been good at first. He's been really good at first.
He absolutely has, yep.
But there are plays, like there was that play yesterday where the ball ends up, like, he's stretched out and the ball goes under his glove, that I would almost guarantee that Dom Smith makes that play. Like, could you imagine if there was a DH in the National League, and all of a sudden I could move Nimmo to left, I got Dom playing first,
and how much you would,
how much you would benefit from that?
You would, but that's not the world we live in right now. At least for now. I think next year you might very well see that.
I don't like this world. For the world where there was a DH.
At least they won two games yesterday, though.
No, I'm not complaining. I'm absolutely 100% not complaining. I mean, in the way, I thought it was huge after Stroman took a broadside shot at the team and at his manager by saying what he said. Because ultimately the team has the decision whether or not to try to play that game.
Mm-hmm.
And he was pissed, I get it. But that's a conversation. Luis Rojas, to me, and I feel bad every time he steps in front of a microphone, but from everything I've heard, he's got good relationships with his players. There's no reason why you can't walk into Luis Rojas and say to him, well, what the hell are we doing here? Why would we start that game? And have that conversation behind closed doors. You don't need to air him out on Twitter.
But it was ridiculous enough where I don't have a problem with the player coming out and taking a shot at the club. Because there was no reason for them to try to get that game, Enrico. Everybody's weather forecast, though, except for the Mets, had Sunday being a washout. It was absolutely ridiculous.
Stroman has not done enough for me as a Met to justify ripping the team on Twitter.
He's done nothing. What has he done as a Met? You say nothing. Not enough. He's done nothing. He came here 2 years ago and he was fine. Last year he almost strangely opted out for you once you thought he was going to play.
What do you mean almost strangely? He got his service time and then he opted out.
So there you go. I was trying to be nice about it. And now this year he hadn't pitched. So he'd done nothing for you. You said almost nothing. He'd done nothing.
So I thought it was big for him to come out the way he came out.
The team decided to do, though.
No one's defending what they did. What they did was a moronic decision. I guess the point is, do you have to come out and rip the team? Like, if that is, I don't know, if it's, just, and it wouldn't be, because they're the Yankees and they're buttoned up and they know how to handle this kind of stuff. They have more than just the one weather guy that nobody's ever met. But if you're the Yankees, and it's, say, Jameson Taillon or I don't know,
different
Severino,
situation.
Right? But there's no way they come out and blast the team. There's no way.
There's no way Jacob DeGrom comes up and blasts the team.
No.
And he's your best player.
No. It's just, I don't know. I agree with you. I don't think it's a good look. Right? There's no reason for it. You want to close the manager's office door and say, like, what the hell are you doing? This is unacceptable. I could live with that. But making it public, I think you crossed the line. For me, that's what I think.
Well, you know, Stroman has no issue with going to Twitter and crossing the line when it comes to speaking out and speaking his mind. Like, he's not going to do that. Go ahead.
Steve Cohen owns the team. He can do whatever he wants. I don't think most Mets fans like it either, but I mean, Steve Cohen can do whatever he wants. He owns the team. Especially not knowing, like, the fact that, I get into that moment, you're pissed because you're burning one of his starts, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you felt like he was burning one of his starts. Then all of a sudden, he plays catch and he pitches last night. Maybe it's just the built up frustration of being a Mets fan and not having that kind of discipline I feel like this team needs.
Mm.
But
leadership. You don't have the leadership. You don't have the manager that instills that level of confidence that even when things kind of go left, that you're able to get back on track. It feels like it is an air of fragility around the Mets team. Like, you're just trying to hold this thing together, and Stroman going out there and putting stuff on social media doesn't help the situation.
Yeah, it adds fuel to the fire, right?
Yeah, I got you. I hear where you're coming from. I get where you guys are coming from, but I just felt like it was so egregious what the team did. Like, I don't have a problem with the players calling the organization to the carpet. Maybe Stroman was the wrong messenger for it just because, like you guys said, he hadn't done anything for the organization. But, I mean, if Pete Alonso comes out and says something about that and says that was a misstep by the team, I don't think anybody bats an eyelash.
Yeah, but I think we all realized it was a misstep.
Yeah.
Like, I just think, like inherently, when you're a player, and I don't care what the team is, there's a – and it's different. Like, there were some coaches that I didn't think were very good coaches. So, I mean, again, it's like, okay, am I all in with this coach? How much respect do I have for this coach? I can only imagine, Chris. Like, I mean, how much respect you had for Tom Coughlin or Bill Parcells? There was coaches like, Jack Parker. Like, knowing the amount of respect I have for that coach or that manager. And it was, I mean, it's their decision. They're the ones in the secret room with all the TV screens and the exclusive, radar guy making this decision. Like, I would have a hard time if I respected my manager to go out and start ripping people on social media.
So you feel like that's more of an indictment on Luis Rojas as their manager with Stroman coming out and handling things the way that he did on Sunday?
Just that he felt comfortable doing it.
Okay. I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you. Listen, Rojas leaves a lot to be desired as their manager, and I don't know how long he's going to be in charge of managing things with this team. I really don't. I really don't. I picked the Mets to win this division, and I hope it goes that way. But if for whatever reason it doesn't, like, you could be talking about him being one of the changes that they make at some point during the season or after the season.
He'll be the first to blame. Absolutely. And it's like verbal Mad Libs every time he gets in front of a microphone. I mean, I don't know what he's going to say, really. I mean, every time he speaks, I'm like, oh, God, I wish he wouldn't have said that. But that's the situation they're in. And amazingly enough, with all the negativity surrounding the Mets at 7 games into the season, they're 4-3. Which is not so awful.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you guys have any idea who leads Major League Baseball in home runs right now? Any idea? Take a moment. Think it through. If you need a hint, I'm willing to supply. It's because it's not an easy, it's not a Trout, it's not an Acuna, it's not a Bregman. Any idea?
American League or National League?
I believe he's in the American League at the moment. But former National Leaguer with a very heavy New York flavor.
Former National Leaguer with a heavy New York flavor.
Heavy New York flavor. Plays in the American League on a team that you expect nothing from. They've been bad for years, but played for the Mets last season.
I was going to bring up a Met. He doesn't lead the league in home runs, but I was flipping through the games yesterday. And do you see what Jed Lowry's doing currently?
Yes, playing games and playing well, yes.
It's not Jed Lowry. Just a game-tying three-run homer, no big deal.
Yeah, right. That's Jed Lowry. But come on, get back to the question.
It can't be your former catcher, right, Dave?
You'd say it can't, but it is. Wilson Ramos with six home runs leads all of baseball at the moment.
It can't be possible.
It's possible.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's the answer. Wilson Ramos is your major league leader with six home runs at the moment. So
how does that make you feel, Dave?
It's bizarre. That's kind of Murphy's Law, right? Yes, that's exactly what you would expect to happen. If you told me Wilson Ramos hit 35 home runs this year, I'd be like, yep, that sounds about right.
Just when the Mets are saying they upgraded at the catcher position in free agency, the former catcher hits 35 bombs.
Right, on the Tigers, right? Now, amazingly enough, he has 6 home runs and 7 RBIs, but yeah, he's hitting .280 early on in the season. 7 runs, 9 hits is pretty remarkable. All right, so Chris, where does your, I don't want to say concern because it's so early, but
it's so early, Dave.
So early, and I'm not doing what Rick does and trying to get you crazy. I'm really not, but outside of Gerrit Cole, I mean, the starting pitching has been a tremendous disappointment so far this season.
It has been, Dave, and I just felt like with yesterday's outing with Taillon, you're one pitch away from being able to get out of that inning and get to the third and be clean. I mean, but 2 strikes, 2 outs, Palacio takes one and drives it to right, scores 2 runs, and I felt like that was the beginning of the end for Taillon. I mean, Grichuk has that sac fly RBI, and then that's just kind of – it kind of snowballed from there. He gave up the bomb in the fourth inning, and then you know that it wasn't going to get back right. Like, you just knew it wasn't going to happen after Marcus Semien drove that one to left field. So, you were hoping that he was going to be able to right himself, Dave, but, you know, they just kept chipping away. That lineup wore him down, and then they took advantage of some pitches to hit, and the Yankees lineup couldn't do anything with Ryu. I mean, he gives you 6 2/3 innings, and he only allows 1 run. But that Yankees lineup couldn't touch him. Like, they couldn't string together runs. They couldn't string together hits. They couldn't string together good at-bats. He kept them off balance all game long. And then once you finally got into the bullpen, you had the base-running blunder by Gary Sanchez in the eighth inning when the Yankees were trying to mount a comeback. So it's another one of those games where it's just frustrating, but the problem starts with the starting pitching not being up to snuff. And that was one of the concerns we had coming into the season. We talked about it all offseason. We felt like Brian Cashman should have been more aggressive in trying to address it, but he decided that he was going to roll the dice with a couple of guys and Taillon and Kluber coming off of major injuries, and we would see what happened. But so far, it hadn't worked out.
Yeah, let's not get Chris riled up, because that's the best thing for Sports Talk Radio. Just there, everyone be calm. Stop yourself, would you please? That's the whole point of what we do, is to get each other riled up.
You want to panic the guy?
Yes, I do.
You freak out?
You see him rubbing his head?
That's
not fair. He's concerned.
That's not fair, because a couple of years back, he walks in at 9-9, or the other day, he says it was touch and go with Gerrit Cole in the first inning, and we made fun of him.
That happened.
And, yeah. and we made fun of him. And a couple of years back when they were 9-9, he came in, he's like, guys, I'm about to break the glass. I'm near panic mode. And you laughed at him and you ridiculed him.
That's
and you
the whole
mocked
point.
Him. Right. But now he's taking the high road, he's doing the right thing, he's being appropriate, and now you're giving him a hard time for that. So make up your mind. You're unfair to him.
I'm not unfair to him, but I mean at a certain point, like, you think this team is gonna win the division. So we're only gonna have so much time to go after Chris about the Yankees. So this is the time we need to take advantage when they're not playing good baseball, because they don't play good baseball. Defensively,
well, right now they're not a good baseball team.
Listen, defensively, they're average at best. Mm. Their offense, I mean, especially the middle of your lineup. I know Stanton had the big single yesterday, but I mean, the middle of your lineup has been bad. Defensively, you're just not good.
You just said that.
You can't. Oh, no, I meant that.
You just said defensively they're awful. The middle of the lineup hasn't been good, and defensively they're not good.
it is that bad, though, Dave, where you can mention it twice.
No, but seriously, like, I love
a double plow.
Well, no, but in double plays. I mean, you mean double plow, double plays. That's all they do is in double plays.
Yes,
I don't want the double plow today.
I used to enjoy watching the Yankees play baseball, and I have a hard time watching them because they don't, like, they clearly don't value defense. They don't run the base as well. Like, it's just, it's a tough watch right now. The starting pitching's been brutal outside of Gerrit Cole. It aggravates me because you watch these teams every single year, and I know the Yankees are trying to win a World Series. I get it. And on paper, talent-wise, it looks like they have the team to do it. But watching them every single day play baseball, it's just, they don't play fundamentally good baseball. They don't. Jay Bruce is not a good first baseman. He's not.
Jay Bruce should not be on your team. To be honest, he's not a very good player.
But he is.
Well, without Voit getting hurt, he wasn't going to make the team. Like, that wasn't going to happen.
But he's on the team right now, and he's playing first base, and he's not good at it. Clint Frazier is not a good outfielder. He's not.
He's a hell of a hitter, though.
But when he hits, when he hits, he's good. He's currently not really hitting, which is the problem.
He hit Phelps back yesterday.
Well, that's fine. I mean, but when you value hitting over defense, if you're not hitting, well, you're useless, really, because you're not good defensively. So, I mean, if Jay Bruce isn't hitting, he's not. I mean, what's the use of having him? But I mean, and the other thing too from last night, and it's just it seems like it's consistent. I'm not even a Yankees fan. It would drive me crazy. I'd want to break my TV. Like the whole Aaron Judge, let's call that low strike that's at his shins every single time, drives me crazy. I don't know how he deals with it. I'd end up fighting an umpire.
I can't argue about that. The last guy that can make that argument is him.
What, the low strike like that?
Yeah.
What do you mean? It's not a strike. It's in the middle of his shin.
But he starts complaining about it, and then he starts losing calls as the catcher.
I said Judge, not Sanchez.
Oh, I thought you said Sanchez. You might have said Sanchez.
No, I said Judge. I definitely said Judge. It drives me crazy. Like that. I'm not even a Yankees fan, and I get angry when they make that call all the time. He can't hit that pitch. You can't hit it. It's not a strike.
Well, how about the strike three they called from Chapman the other night, which was a foot low?
Yeah, but he was consistently throwing that low strike. Wasn't even a strike. They were calling that all day long.
I mean, the umpiring is horrendous.
It's awful. How about this new thing where they decide to challenge calls? They go to instant replay, and you have no reason. Like, they have no idea. Like the Mets game, Gary, they had no idea what they're doing.
Right. Like, what call they were doing?
Well, no, they had
right,
no idea.
They came back and they were like, no, you know, he's out, right? They're like, he's out, and Gary started freaking out.
Well, it's because the Mets, they didn't even realize that it was the Mets that challenged
but
it.
Isn't that a flaw in the system? Like, shouldn't the announcers or the people at the stadium have an idea of what's actually being challenged in the moment?
It happened in the Yankees game yesterday, the day before.
Terrible.
For catcher's interference that wasn't even close. And everyone's like, what are we reviewing here? We have
and
no
then
idea
they review
reviewing.
It and they get it wrong anyway.
It's terrible, man. It really
it's really a major problem. So let's hear this quickly. Jameson Taillon saying, after Cole, the guys have to start stepping up in that rotation.
Yeah. I mean, I think the good thing about this group is that we're all pretty self-aware. We know what we need to get better at. You know, we like studying. We like reviewing what we're doing. So I think the adjustments will be made. But right now, obviously, you know, we're not getting deep enough into games. We're not getting it done. So, we need to start picking it up. And I think we will.
It's a major problem. Chris, after Cole, who's the guy you trust the most? Is it Montgomery at this moment?
I would think you'd have to say Montgomery, Dave. I mean, it's not Herman. It's not Taillon. Kluber, Kluber hasn't been awful. He hadn't been great. It's not what we expect. He's clearly not pitching up to being a frontline guy in your rotation. But I feel like Kluber has a chance to be able to come around. But, I mean, you're going to have these guys start contributing to these rotation and start eating up some innings. I mean, having guys, you know, pitch into the fourth inning and then have to go to your bullpen, or the fifth inning and have to go to your bullpen, Like, something about that has to change because that formula is not sustainable when the Yankees have got to ask their bullpen to give them 12 outs or 15 outs every single night. That's not going to work, not long term. So they've done the job early on in this season, but at some point the starting pitching is going to have to carry their weight, as well as the lineup, Dave. Like, the lineup is going to have to start hitting and start tacking on some runs, give these pitchers some run support, make it a little less stressful. So they work hand in hand, but right now the bullpen is the only thing that's buoying the team.
No, that's it. I mean, really, I mean, that's been the – and I think we said this before the season started because the pitching staff was going to still be a question. Mm-hmm. I mean, Kluber hadn't pitched. Tyone hadn't pitched. Herman hadn't pitched. So there was like, okay, early on in the season, coming off the 60 games especially, is these guys aren't going to give you much length. So you're going to have your bullpen, which is a strength, but also your offense is going to have to pick you up early on in the season.
Sure.
And it hasn't done that.
Nope.
It has not done that.
They have not. They don't look good.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Guess how old Pete Rose is today? Big birthday for Pete Rose today.
Round number?
Round number.
He's got to be close to 80, doesn't he?
Go with that round number.
That is correct.
He's 80?
I can't believe it, though.
Pete Rose is 80.
No, we're getting old,
wow.
Dave. I mean, you're almost 50.
Wow. I, you know, you laugh. I am. I'm less than 2 years away from being 50 years old. You're almost 40.
I'm almost 39.
You're almost 40.
I told you, I'm not recognizing last year. That birthday does not count. I'll change my birth certificate if I have to.
Oh, my gosh.
I can't have a legitimate 40th birthday now.
Why?
I got to push this thing back.
But time stops for no one. You're going to be 40 in September.
I'm stopping time. I can choose to be whatever age I want to be.
Well, actually, Cheryl still think thinks that's how it works.
Mickey still thinks she's 47. She tells people.
Your mom tells people she's 47.
She won't tell anyone how old she is. Yeah, the kids call her old, and she has a nervous breakdown. Nanny, you're getting Nanny, you're getting old.
Well, I'm not old. Nice. Nanny, you're getting old.
They're just joking with her.
Yeah, but that's got to be a sensitive
subject. Because it drives her crazy. This
I'm
is what
sure
happens, though. Kids tell her she looks old. Then all of a sudden, she goes home for a couple weeks and shows up, and she's got injections in her for everything else.
Be honest, Rico. You put the kids up to it, don't you? You tell the kids to go tell their Nana that.
Go tell. Here. Go tell Nana. We'll get your puppy. Go tell Nana.
No, the best is what I'll do, too, is because, you know, Cassie's parents are in Florida. So we're still waiting. Like, her dad's supposed to come up, but, you know, obviously with things going on. So what I'll do is when they're on FaceTime, I'll have them walk by the computer and be like, Papa, how come you don't love us anymore?
Oh, God. Why would you do that? You're mean.
I love it. Diabolical. I love it.
But what's the end game for that? Just to make him feel awful?
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, but make him feel awful so he comes up here.
But it's not like he doesn't want to come up.
Well, how much do you want it?
Oh, my. There's a pandemic, Rick.
Well, I understand there's a pandemic,
but
he's got a car.
Are you traveling down to Florida?
No, unlike him, I have a job, and my kids go to school. He's retired.
Fair point. That is a fair point, Dave.
But still, give the guy a little, I mean, Chris, a little slack with the pandemic, right?
People No slack. The pandemic means Rico needs more help at home with the kids. They've got a new addition. Him and Cassie went from man-to-man defense to zone defense. The grandparents got to help out, Dave. I'm with Rico on this one.
Currently, we look like Alfred Payton trying to break down the zone.
Well, that's not very good. I can't wait till the fourth one makes an appearance. That'll be
terrific. Oh, that could be right around the corner.
Oh, I have a feeling.
Right around the corner.
2022, the next DiPietro makes a glorious
Speaking of a doggy update.
Just shooting up the club.
I can't help myself. I have to get a vasectomy. I have to. I don't want to, but I have to. Like, it's just like knowing your limitations. Like, I have a problem.
I will never do that.
You missed an opportunity with March Madness,
man.
I
just said I will never do that. I am not doing that.
Maybe we'll get a discount. Let's go together.
You can go with someone else. Find another friend to go with.
We'll get a group discount. Well, Canty can't go because he's just getting married.
Of course not. And I'm not going either. I don't want to do that.
You got two dogs. You don't need any more kids. Let's go get it done.
I'm not having more kids, and I'm not doing that.
I heard it's not even terrible.
Well, then you do it. You tell me, and then if it's not terrible, maybe I'll consider it.
I don't even need those. They could probably just take those if they wanted. I don't even need them.
You don't
want to
give those up.
I'm not a huge ball guy. I don't need them. If you told me everything worked right, you could have them. I don't need them.
I don't think it works right if you take those away.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you could guarantee me. That.
Let's go to Mike in Staten Island. Mike, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're
doing
good.
Fantastic. Hello? Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Listen, I agree with all you guys about it, as far as the Yankees are playing. I think it's too early to draw some conclusions, but there are a few things I definitely don't like about the team right now, as you guys mentioned. The number one thing I have to say, I'm not concerned about the lineup, even though it's really pretty disappointing to keep it in these double plays. I think that'll pick up, but the pitching, beginning of the season, I try calling you guys about it, about Cashman's low cost, high ceiling approach to the pitching staff. I mean, it's kind of frustrating what he did. There's a lot of people there, but this is a team that wants to win a World Series. They can't get over the hump to even get to the World Series, and he decides, hey, let's do a cost-effective patchwork pitching rotation this year behind Gerrit Cole. I mean, that was a great question Dave asked. Who do you trust besides Montgomery? And one last thing I wanted to mention, why aren't they pitching Debbie Garcia? Is it a money thing? I mean, I don't know the deal with that, but that guy needs some more experience.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I like Debbie Garcia's stuff.
But I think it's a money thing, though.
I don't know. It's not a money thing. I mean, it's early on in the season, and Brian Cashman took a couple risks with Kluber and Tyone.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a concern. I mean, when you got two guys coming in that have, I mean, one pitched 37 innings, the other one, what, 36 over the last couple of years?
Yep.
Kluber pitched one inning last season. I mean, yeah, what concerned me the most is, especially because you're a team that feels like it's going to play deep into the postseason.
Yeah.
And it's going to be hard enough to keep guys that have pitched where they need to be. Like, you're managing innings and everything else to try to make sure when you need them the most at the end of the season, they're fresh or as fresh as they possibly can be. And now you got guys that haven't pitched. Herman hasn't pitched. I mean, three of your five haven't pitched.
No, it's amazing. I mean, Kluber has barely pitched for years. Tyon has barely pitched for years. Herman didn't pitch at all last year. Montgomery's come off a serious injury as well. So, you have a lot of legitimate question marks around your staff.
Yeah, Dave, but we knew starting pitching was going to be a little bit of a work in progress to start the season. We knew that. It wasn't like that was going to be a surprise based on how they had set the roster this offseason. It was just a matter of, you know, whether or not your lineup was going to be able to sustain you and whether or not the bullpen would be able to hold up. But I mean, even with the question marks with the starting rotation, I didn't know that it was going to be this bad, Dave. Your starters were giving you, they've given you 51 innings pitched through 11 games. Your bullpen has given you 49 innings pitched. Like, we know that that's not sustainable. You're going to burn those guys out by the middle of the summer.
Because I thought that one guy would step up and be really good, and then you'd be like, all right, I have Cole, now I have the other guy, and the other guys are fine, they're decent. And that, it hasn't been like that.
No, it hasn't been like that, Dave, but here's the thing. I think help is on the way. At some point, you're going to get back Luis Severino, and even if that's not enough, you got to think that Brian Cashman at the trade deadline would make a move to be able to bring over a starting pitcher. Like, you have pathways to be able to add to your rotation. You still got Davey Garcia, Clark Schmidt eventually. Like, I just feel like there are enough possibilities where you'll be able to shore up that starting rotation. But, I mean, the biggest issue is going to be whether or not this lineup can figure it out and get it together. Like, they're going to have to start manufacturing runs to make it a little bit easier on your pitching staff. And until that happens, there's going to be that small margin of error for your bullpen.
Yeah, I mean, you needed your offense early on in the season, once you got past Cole, to carry the day a little bit for you.
That's right.
And they haven't done it.
They have not done that at all. And then you have these base-running blunders, which are horrendous. Now, Gary Sanchez had one yesterday. Let's listen to this. Does Aaron Hicks sound a little bit annoyed on the situation with Sanchez from last night?
I mean, it's tough. You know, I think right there the score was 6-3. You know, and that was a tying run. So, you know, I want to come up big right there in that situation for my team. And, you know, I wasn't able to get the opportunity to.
Just a little frustrated with that situation last night.
Well, he had a great game offensively.
Yeah.
I mean, he was one of the guys that really swung the bat well yesterday. Yeah. And of course you want to be in that spot. You got to be smarter than that, man. I mean, for Stanton, I mean, he was heads up. For him to get third, fine. But, I mean, once Gary hesitates, There's no reason.
But Rico, why was he hesitating? Was he looking at Stanton? What was going on through his head? What was happening there?
Well, no, I think he realized once he made the decision to go that he wasn't going to make it to second before the ball made it to second, and then he was caught in between.
But now he's like, okay, be pressing the issue.
No, but again, this is not something that the Yankees have valued over the last couple of years.
No,
they don't run the bases well, and they don't play good defense. And you look at the teams that have won in the past. Look, what do the Rays do better than the Yankees? They don't have all the money and glitz and glamour.
All the small things.
Yep. Dodgers, same thing. One of the things you can point to with the Dodgers that won them that World Series last year was great defense.
Mm-hmm.
They make great defensive plays. The Yankees don't. The Yankees do not value that stuff. They don't.
Do you think the Dodgers could win 110 games this year?
If they wanted to.
They're really damn good.
I mean,
they're really good.
It is unbelievable how good they are.
Yeah. I'm a little over Trevor Bauer doing the thing where he closes one eye and pitches, though.
I'm over that. I think that's insane, to be honest
with you. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Stop it.
Guy's got filthy stuff, though.
Filthy. Oh, he's nasty.
Yeah, yeah.
I got a little glimpse, too, by the way. Hey, sneaky Garrett Cole. I don't want to out him, but I mean, it's 5:47 in the morning. No one's really
paying
attention.
People are listening.
I'm saying for Major League Baseball. So I was always wondering, because he comes from the Astros, right? And once, I mean, it was, you know, Bauer's talking about what they put on the ball and everything else. And then, you know, Houston Astros got this crazy spin rate. Everyone that pitches for the Astros, all of a sudden, their fastball gets better and everything else. So I would always pay extra close attention. How are they doing this? Right? Is it on their forearms? Is the catcher got pine tar? Whatever it is. I noticed last game, check this out. When Garrett Cole pitches, he keeps it inside his glove. But it's like inside. Can you see my hand right here? Like mm-hmm. It's inside, like where the webbing meets the thumb of the glove.
Okay.
When he needs a little extra sauce, he just sticks it right in there. Boom.
Really?
Yep. Mm.
Clever.
He went to that. So remember when he pitched? Remember Bichette followed back his fastball and kind of gave him that look?
Yeah.
Like, I'm on your stuff. Went into the mitt, little extra something.
Huh?
Boom.
Use it.
Get to the dugout, kid.
Yeah, there you go.
He went on any of this stuff.
What you're saying is he's a little better at hiding it than Michael Pineda.
You got way better. Way better.
Where should I put this? All over your neck. Smear it.
should I use the clear stuff or the regular pine? Go with the regular pine tar.
If you make it so obvious, they'll really never pick up on it. Okay. We'll smear this all over. That looks great. Go out there. Do your thing, kid.
No one will notice at all. I can promise. It's like, did you see Kay yesterday? Poor Kay.
I heard it. What did he have?
Oh,
like
he was so
all
funny.
Over his face?
Oh, he was on TV, but he must have been watching it. Like, you know when you look in the mirror and you're all
so it's reversed, right?
So he's, like, initially I didn't know what was going on, but I look and he, like, kind of, like gives a little, like, lick of the fingers, and then he's, like, scrubbing his one cheek, and he's like,
with
why did anyone?
Cheek.
And he was scrubbing the wrong cheek. It was, like, straight across his cheek. It was hysterical.
Oh, that is very funny.
Oh, it was too good.
All right, and of course, you found it funny because you have that bizarre relationship. So, the play-in tournament. I like it. Why? How's that funny?
It's a beautiful face. I mean, what do you want me to tell you? I can't help it.
It's a beautiful face.
I mean, gorgeous face.
Says it's a beautiful face.
I mean, it's a lot of face to love, and I love every inch of it.
I'm surprised he wasn't, like, you know, trying to scrub off the ink, and you come running in from the corner. No, Michael, it's here. Dab it here.
If I pop out from under the desk, let me get that.
You're on the wrong cheek. Michael, come on.
You just see, but you don't even see me. You just see, like, a hand pop up, and I'm, like, wiping his cheek.
Like the Addams Family, that hand just comes out. Michael, right over here. Dab it here. All right, so Luka Doncic, he doesn't lie. I like it. Chris, do you like the play-in tournament?
I love it, Dave. I don't understand what Mark Cuban is talking about in being critical of the play-in tournament. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I think it's nothing but good for the NBA. Like, it gets people to pay attention to those 7, 8, 9, 10 seeds. Like, it actually adds that layer of intrigue that you wouldn't otherwise have, because the 7 and 8 seed in the playoffs – those are just the sacrificial lambs for the best teams in the respective conferences. So I don't understand why Mark Cuban or anybody else in the NBA would have an issue with it. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I don't understand either. And right now the Pelicans are 25-29. They're in the 11th spot. So they got to pass one team, and then you get a chance to see Zion. Otherwise, you wouldn't get to see Zion. They're 4 games in the loss column behind. So I don't know. You know, John Morant now has a chance to get into that play-in tournament.
Yeah, but time out. Understand one thing. Dave Rothenberg likes it because, as a Knicks fan, we need it just in case. We need it just in case. Like, there's a chance we can end up in 9 or 10.
No, but I like it. I think it's something different. I think it's something fun.
But it's not a negative to us. It's useful to us. It's useful to us. Canty doesn't worry about it because the Lakers aren't going to be in any of those spots.
Right.
The reason why Dallas doesn't like it is because they don't fancy themselves as a sacrificial lamb in a first-round series. Have they played well this season? No. But when you have Luka Doncic, and if KP is healthy, you could cause some noise in a first round series. You may not win it, but it's going to be a good series. And what he's saying is that we're in the middle of this thing. We're not worried about falling out of the top eight. So what this doesn't allow us to do now is to rest players down the stretch because we don't want to finish 7th, 8th, and 9th, or 10th. We want to finish 6th because we don't want to be a part of this plan, is what he's saying.
Well, here's what I will say. It's not just about you, Mark Cuban. You know it's about the league. I mean, and when you look at the Eastern Conference, you're talking about the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th teams being Boston, New York, Indiana, and Chicago. So, I mean, three of the four you would say are big market teams. Like, that's great for the NBA in terms of being able to generate revenue and keep that interest around the postseason. I don't understand why it would be a negative. And even with the Dallas Mavericks, if they're 7th or 8th, you're talking about them having to win one game to get into a real playoff series. Is it really that much of a heavy lift?
Well, I don't think it's about winning the game. I think it's about how much they play Luka and KP down the stretch. Because, KP, they're trying to keep healthy, right? What makes him a hypocrite is the reason why he voted on this, and I would guarantee this, is because he never thought he'd be in this spot. I don't think there was any question in his mind that he'd be
West
a top.
West is good, man.
Well, no, but I'm saying I think in his mind he thought there's no.
I'm sure he did.
So we won't have to worry about
the West is really good.
Yeah, the West is really good, but you have one of the best players in basketball. I'm sure that's what he was. We'll be right in the middle of this thing. We're not gonna have to worry about a play-in.
So I'll vote for it because it won't affect me. And now that it could potentially affect me, now I don't like it.
Well, because in that moment, if you don't think that you're gonna be involved in the play-in tournament. Of course, as an owner of an NBA team, it makes sense financially. Because, you're playing 72 instead of 82, but you're selling playoff games is what you're selling, extra playoff games by having this play-in tournament. So financially, it makes sense for the league. But now, all of a sudden, because you're in the seventh seed, it makes you don't like it.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Here's
Woj. Let's take a listen to Woj. Do teams like, not just the Mavericks, do teams around the NBA like this play-in tournament?
I talked to some executives around the league today. You know, those teams who are in that 4th to 8th range, especially in the West, you know, where you can drop with a couple losses, it was never really meant to be there to feel really fair to the 7th and 8th seed. The play-in was put in to curb tanking. They wanted to keep numbers 12, 11, 10, not tanking at the end of the year, but continuing to compete to try to get to the 10th spot. And I think another frustration for those playoff teams, it made the trade deadline harder to get help to move into that top three, perhaps, in their conference, because the teams who usually would be unloading players were keeping them, trying to perhaps get to the play-in. But it's had an impact, and certainly in this shortened season where, you know, teams are having to play a lot of games in a very compressed time, you know, you understand the frustration of a team like Dallas and where they are in the standings.
But I don't see how it keeps the bad teams motivated. I mean, Detroit is not motivated now.
No.
Right? I mean, it's done nothing to help at least I don't see it. These
Orlando had a sell-off day.
Yeah.
Orlando, they had a sell-off. So, I mean, there are teams that are just mailing it in for the rest of the season. You know, OKC is not trying to chase to get into the play-in tournament.
No, these teams want to lose games still.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's.
I don't think he means those teams though, Dave. I don't think he's talking about the worst of the worst teams that have zero chance at all. He's not talking.
Toronto was talking about trading Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, but I think one of the reasons why they didn't, because they were looking for a haul, was that potentially maybe they could get themselves into the play-in. I think they realize. I mean, they're realistic. They're not going to be a team that does anything in the postseason.
Right. Even if they get into that, they're not going to do anything. And having won a championship recently, they don't care about being in the play-in series, right?
Yeah, I don't think he was talking about the Pistons or the Magic or the Timberwolves or the Rockets or teams like that just stink, that are awful.
Right. So the Knicks, it helps the Knicks. It helps the Pelicans. It helps the Grizzlies. Those kind of teams it helps. The Spurs, right?
Exactly.
Now they can go for
it. It's going to help Golden State, too.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Sure it is.
Golden State's still under 500. I don't understand how that team is under 500.
Especially with Steph Curry doing what he's doing.
He's so good, isn't he?
Yeah.
It's amazing to me.
So good. The Michael Kay Show celebrating its new 2 o'clock start time by giving away $10,000 in the month of April. Every weekday in the 2 o'clock hour, be listening for the KCash sounder and be ready to call to claim that $500 cash, all from your home for the hookup, 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.